أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهم ولا تلبسوا ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس اسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, I start off by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you for attending today. And more so, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure our sister Hajja Nadia. She's not here today because she's in the hospital. I think she's going to get some results or Allahu alam, possibly be admitted. So keep her in your dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure her and shower her with cure and a long, long life that she fulfills with deeds in it. What did she say? See, that's good. That's from our dua, you know that? You tell her that's a festival coming to our halakha. We told everyone to make dua and a lot of people replied and they were asking about her. And I'm very sure our people who attend our halakhat have good dua. I almost can guarantee that, inshallah. So that's why, you know, some people say, oh, it's just a coincidence that it was like that. Actually, when I talked to her the last time was Sunday. I think it was Sunday. And she was, you know, nothing was very promising. It was very sad, actually, the way she was talking. And that it was a cancer and a lung cancer and so on and so forth. And that it's for sure cancer, but they have to operate on her and see how bad it is and so on. But alhamdulillah, we got good news today. Alhamdulillah. So attend this halakha. If you guys happen the same thing, we'll send out an email about you. Okay. We're on this hadith. Sibab al-Muslimi fusuq wa qitaluhu kufr. Last week we started on Sibab al-Muslimi fusuq. We translated the meaning as to cursing a Muslim is a way that will lead you astray. Fusuq is leading you astray. We took several points in your outline, and amongst them is the exceptions where one can curse. Then we went on to say the types of cursing. And the first type of cursing, you know, if you didn't get them, you could go to the notes that the sister provides because they're very detailed. We don't have to go over it again and take time out of the halakha for it. Go over, actually, it's very neatly done and in detail. But, you know, a lot of people say, why should we take notes if she is going to give us the notes at the end and we're going to get them off the internet? That's not right, because when you sit and write, that is very, very helpful and it sticks in your mind. And me personally, if I don't write my own notes, I don't understand them, even if they're very well put. But that's a backup situation if you need her notes. The first thing we talked about is exceptions to cursing. Then we went on to talk to types of cursing. And we said cursing of Allah is the main type of cursing, Allah and the Prophet ﷺ. And we quoted the scholar saying it's kufr. And anyone who does it is considered a kafir. What if he's joking? What if he said I didn't mean it? Unless it came by accident. The only thing is it came out by accident. Like the guy who one time, Allah tells us how he loves when we repent. Allah loves when we repent. So he told us a story about a man who was in a desert. The Prophet ﷺ tells us a man in a desert, he lost his camel, and on his camel is all his food and water. And you know, if you're in a desert, you're only the person there, you lose your food and water, You're going to die. For sure you're going to die. Look what happens on the Mexico-US border. The people try to run over here. They get lost a little bit off track. And you find, actually, I was watching a documentary, you find skeletons. These are people trying to run from Mexico to US through illegal means. So if you get lost in a desert, you don't have your food and your water, you're done with. So this person, his camel, went away. And he later went to sleep, waiting for death. Said, what am I going to do? I don't have enough energy to go and search for my camel that has the water and food. So I'm going to sit and wait there. So what happened is he went to sleep, and when he woke up, he seen his camel right in front of him. He said a statement. He said, oh Allah, you're my slave, and I'm your Lord. Allahumma inni, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. That's a statement, that's kufr. He was so overwhelmed, overjoyed, that he said that wrong statement. Is he a kafir? He didn't mean to say it. It slipped out like that. But the point of the hadith, that's another issue, is that Allah is happier than for one who repents, more than this guy who says, oh, you know, he was about to die and life came back to him once again. The point of it, if it slips out of your mouth and you really didn't mean to say it, that's okay. But if I say, astaghfirullah al-azim, may Allah curse Allah, astaghfirullah. No. There's no backing away. That doesn't have two meanings. I didn't say it out of joy. I didn't say it out of excitement. Like I said, in our countries, we have a lot of people who say that. So the only exception may be a slip of the tongue, like this person had at that time, when he was overwhelmed by joy. What did I say the punishment is for someone who curses the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Huh? What's Ibn Taymiyyah's unique opinion on that? Elders, he went against the majority of the scholars. He said, every community, the elders make a decision. The elders are scholarly, and they do that. That's an arguable decision by Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Okay, the next thing we took after cursing Allah and the Prophet is Sahaba. And we said cursing Sahaba is kufr because of the many proof. Not only are you resisting verses in the Quran that clearly command these people, but also they are the mediators between us and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without the Sahaba, there is no Islam. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and anyone above him or below him. So we can't curse the Sahaba, and that is not a sin, it's a kufr. It's kufr. The next one, what's obvious, and that's where we start today. What's the next one? Person? What is it? Believers. The third type, and our last type, is cursing the believers. And this is where we start off today. What are some of the types? There's many, but what are some of the most popular types of cursing a believer? The most popular, the worst, kafir. Telling a Muslim you're a kafir, you're a Jew, you're a Christian, you're an atheist. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whomever tells another he's a kafir, another Muslim he's a kafir, one of them is a kafir. And we know which one is a kafir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whomever tells the other he's a kafir, then he is a kafir. Meaning, when you say someone is a kafir, if it's not him, he's a kafir, it's going to come back at you. That's how dangerous that statement is. The same applies with Khawarij. If you go and tell, if I tell a Muslim, you remember the Khawarij, a deviant sect. You're a member of the Mu'tazila. You're a member of the Murji'a. You're a Sufi. If it doesn't fall upon him, it comes back on you, yourself, because the same applies to kufr, and same applies with anything below the kufr as well. What's another one? honor. You know, one of the biggest things is honor. And Allah dedicated over 10 verses in one surah, Surah An-Nur, on the honor of a believer. Allah said,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Those who curse, those who accuse, chastise people, Allah will curse them in this life and in the life after, and they will have the severe punishment in the life after. عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That's like me saying, oh, that girl, she sleeps around. That guy, he does this and that. I've seen him in a club. And we're going to get to that later on. If you don't have four witnesses. If three people see it, not walking out of a club, but see him in the act. I mean, not walking out of a club, not walking out of a guy's house. There may be a guy's house, and someone walks out, a female walks out of it. The only person in there is a single male who's known to be a bad person. Not that. Something worse than that. You see him in the middle of the act. Three people, you better shut up and not say a word about it. Three people. You have to go and get four people to see them in the act, which is nearly impossible. Because Islam wants to secure society from all evil, from people talking about other people. You know, the only exception maybe, you see someone do the act, and you want to help get them out of it. Maybe you need to talk to a sheikh, tell him so-and-so did this. Or talk to the father, tell him, watch out. Other than that, you can't. In another verse, Allah says,
لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون.
لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء. If you don't bring four witnesses. فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَىٰ, if they don't bring those four witnesses, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. They're liars. To Allah, they're liars. That may have happened. He may have seen them. Three people may have seen them. But for our purposes, you're a liar. You didn't bring the proof of four people. That's how valuable the honor is. Because if you get people talking about other people, just like our societies are, women get oppressed by no one marrying them, brothers get degraded for no reason, and that's how it is. For adultery, anything. For adultery or fornication is for anything less than that, you need two just witnesses. Two just witnesses. For example, you see them doing this act, you see them killing, murder, anything is two, except adultery and fornication, that needs four. Another one is a qattat. You know what a qattat is? This falls under the category of degrading Muslims. What's a qattat? It's mentioned in hadith. What's a qattat? The Prophet ﷺ said a qattat will never enter heaven. لا يدخل الجنة قتات. Qattat is a guy who comes in here, he hears us talking about someone else, or he takes words out of context, or the same exact words, he takes them and he goes tell someone else in another area. In the purpose of trying to cause dispute among Muslims. He could have came here 100%, took exactly what I said, and he goes and tells someone else just to cause dispute between Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yadkhul al-janna qattat." A qattat will not enter heaven. Who wants to rephrase what qattat is? Yes. Instigator, but give me more detailed definition. How? I could be instigator. I could come over here and make up a lie. Say so-and-so said. That's not a qattat. That's worse than a qattat. But imagine if a qattat doesn't enter heaven. لَا يَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ qattat. What's the guy who takes a story or words and makes them up? What's his punishment going to be? This is a guy who really heard it. It's 100% true. He heard me say something and goes on and tells it to someone else. A sister, a group of sisters, this is common among women. They have something, they go tell another woman. What? They're qattat. That's a qattat. If they're truthful. If they're not, that's even a worse punishment. Namam is lies. Lies, you're right. Okay, the next one is, talking or defaming the dead. You know that in Islam we honor the dead just as though they were alive. In fact, when Maymuna radiallahu anha died, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, don't shake her and don't carry her vigorously, meaning gently carry her. And don't shake her when you carry her. Because the dead have the same honor as though one is alive. You can't say, oh, she's dead, just push her in the coffin, or let's just drag her, or mistreat her. The Prophet ﷺ said, breaking a bone of someone who's dead is like breaking the bone of someone who's alive. In another hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't curse the dead because they have surrendered to that which they did. Meaning Allah is going to punish them or torment them, leave it to Allah. This is a Muslim. You know, and a hadith, actually it's more than one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, you guys are the witnesses of Allah in this earth. So if I die, in another one hadith it says how many, Firaz? How many, do you remember? Who remembers from the death classes we took? If so-and-so testify for you.
100.
If 100, the Prophet ﷺ said, if an authentic hadith, if someone dies and 100 people say this man was good, this man was good, this man was good, you know what's going to happen? Allah's going to accept the testimony of 100 people. Now that 100 corrupt people, 100 pious people say that. And he said, the continuation of the hadith, if 100 people come and say this guy, he's a deviant, this guy is so-and-so, this guy is so-and-so, Allah will say, wajabat. Wajabat means, what you guys say is going to happen. That's what it means when you guys are the people who are going to be the testimonies before Allah. You're going to testify before Allah. So that's why if someone sinned when he was alive, and he's a Muslim, keep your tongue away from him. Don't talk about him. Because inshallah, Allah will forgive him and give him a place in heaven. Okay, let's get to the next. There's many other issues, of course, cursing a regular Muslim, calling him a dog or a pig. The Prophet ﷺ said, you say that, the one who said it to his brother, it returns back onto him. Let's take some hadith and show how dangerous it is to talk about your Muslim brother. How dangerous and severe it is. Like Allah said in the Quran about other issues, and it's really about this, and other matters. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ حَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. What does that verse mean? You think it's small, little, but to Allah it's something very, very huge. Okay, take the first hadith. The Prophet ﷺ in the Isra and Mi'raj seen, it's Surah An-Nur. I don't know what ayah. That's out of the outline, okay? So, I bring stuff in the outline, I bring stuff out of the outline. I was trying to pinpoint that there's some issues where we think of them as little, but they're really very huge. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in hadith about Isra and Mi'raj, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Mecca to the Aqsa, and actually there is a narration where he also went to Medina in the Isra. He went to Mecca and he went to top of seven skies. And in the skies he seen people in hell and he seen people in heaven. And amongst the people he seen in hell is people with nails or fingernails, which he describes as claws from brass, poking their lips and their chest. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Who are those people? Who are those people?" See, he just came in and he knows exactly what we're talking about. Jazakallah khair. Yes, people who talk and spread lies about other people. In Sahih al-Tarhib and Tarhib for Albani rahmatullah alayh, a mom found a son in after the Battle of Uhud. You know, those are the top believers ever who fought the Battle of Uhud. So his mom took him and began to hug him and cry,
And she said, glory to you, heaven, oh my dear son. Because he's dead. She said, for sure, glory to you, heaven, oh my dear son. What was the Prophet's reply? This is a guy who gave his life for Allah. This is a guy who stuck around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a time when others dispersed. This guy, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't say that. Maybe he used to speak about other people in ill. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that punishment. The way of fighting in Uhud wouldn't be over than him talking about other people in bad things. In another hadith, what's the worst or one of the worst types of riba that we know? Now? Riba. Kumar ghira riba. Riba. What's one of the hadiths where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, put it bluntly, riba is interest or usury. That's the definition of it. But how severe is it? It's like, a war with Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah declares war on someone who deals in interest and usury. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says,
فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ
فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. I mean, in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one who deals in usury and interest, Allah tells him, hey, here's your weapon, come and fight me on the judgment day. That's his punishment. He gives him a weapon, he says, come and fight me on the judgment day. Okay, there's another hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, riba is so-and-so categories. One of the categories, the least categories, is like a person committing incest with his mother. Imagine that. Now, that's just the introduction. Take what Allah says, or the Prophet ﷺ says, about talking bad about a believer. Inna arba riba, the worst of all riba, more than someone declaring war on Allah, more than one equivalent to the sin of him sleeping with his mother. Inna arba riba, istitalatu rajuli fi ardi akhi, to talk about your brother that which is not right about him. Inna arba riba, istitalatu rajuli fi ardi akhi, the worst of riba is to talk about your brother with honor. Imagine that. I mean, a lot of people, when they deal with interesting injury, even if they do, they worry about it. But you sit in a gathering, and you talk about a brother, no one cares about it, or a sister. The same about a sister. Or brothers against sisters as well. How many hadiths we took so far? Man qala, the next one, two, we took two. The third one is, من قال في أخيه, the Prophet ﷺ said, من قال, all these are purely authentic. There's worse non-authentic hadith, but we don't even need them. These are 100% solid proof hadith. The authentic hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, من قال في أخيه ما ليس فيه أسكنه الله ردغة الخبال. Whomever says in his brother that which is not right about him, he will get in hell radghat al-khubal. Radghat al-khubal is explained by the Sahaba as usarat ahl al-nar. Meaning, you know, like I said in the death halaqa classes I had, I told you a person in hell, his setting, the way when he sits, his setting is the distance from Detroit to Chicago. That's if he sits. Majlis ahadikum. I calculate it based upon the Prophet ﷺ saying it's from Mecca to Medina. So it's the same from Detroit to Chicago. That's when he sits. He's huge. He's big. He's got a lot of flesh. That flesh needs to burn. You know, I always tell you, I got in a fire. One time my finger burned. Okay? And in that fire, my hand blistered very, very big. It's a small fire. Blistered. And what happens when you have a fire? It becomes puffy-like and mushy-like, and it's liquidy. And it stays like that for days and days. It's a small fire, a little tiny finger. Imagine that huge guy from Detroit to Chicago, where Allah's gonna burn his flesh and then give him more flesh and burn it again, like Allah said in the Quran.
كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ.
كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. That whole flesh is gonna burn, then we'll place some more. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. Why? لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. To taste hellfire. It's serious. Okay, where that flesh goes, this is what Radghat al-Khubal is. The pond where all that fussy stuff, liquid, goes is Radghat al-Khubal, Usara Ahl al-Nar. Add to that, you know, women who commit adultery or men who commit adultery, one of their punishments is that out of their private parts comes a disgusting liquid. And hellfire. Also in Radghat al-Khubal. Who gets stuck in that? The guy who talks about his brother or his sister in stuff that is not right about him. Another hadith. And I'm going to give you this hadith because it's important issue and it's practical. And probably that's the core of the hadith. I mean, talking about the Prophet ﷺ and talking about the Sahaba, it's not something we do. It's not practical. But talking about Muslims, we all do that. We all do that. In another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قال من رمى مسلما بشيء يريد شيئا حبسه الله على نار جهنم على جسر في نار جهنم حتى يخرج مما قال. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says about his brother a word that's not, he doesn't deserve it, Allah's gonna put him on a bridge in hellfire. Block him there. You know what? Until he proves what he said. How's he gonna prove something that never happened? I say this guy did this. This guy is so and so. This guy is that. I'm gonna be stuck. May Allah save us from that, save us and you from that. Stuck in hellfire in that position. Until I prove it. How am I going to prove something that never happened? I say, well, this girl, bro, she has a reputation. That's enough. I'm going to be there until I prove her reputation. How the heck am I going to prove her reputation? Or the same about her brother. In another similar hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, whomever says about his brother that which is not from him, which is not truthful, Allah will block him in hellfire. Allah will block him in hellfire until he proves that which he said. Not only is it your duty, not only is it your duty to not talk about him, but it's your duty when a Muslim is being degraded to defend him. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, whomever defends his brother at a time where he needs his defense, Allah will defend him at a time where he needs it. Meaning, it could be on the judgment day, and you need help from Allah. Or you could be in a trial or tribulation in this life, and you need help from Allah. You defended a brother in the past or a sister in the past, Allah will defend you now. The same is the opposite. Whomever doesn't, is silent about it, doesn't defend his brother, at a time when his honor is degraded, Allah will not defend him at a time where he mostly needs it. Questions? Yes.
Now what if it is true? Can you say it?
That's riba. If you got no business to say it, no, you can't say it. This is all. Some of these hadith I mentioned are, for example, the bridge, if it's not true. Other ones that I mentioned, which is the well, I don't think you were here, but that, if it's true, even if it's true. I'm telling you, if I see a woman and a man sleeping together, in the middle of sex, in the middle of it, I got no business to go. Unless I have four witnesses. And you know what? Today, even if you have four witnesses, you keep your mouth shut too. Because there's no reason for you to go around and say it. The four witnesses is for you to go to the Khalifa. brought a court over here, they'll laugh at you. What are you bringing these guys here for? In Islamic ruling, these people would be either stoned or whipped. Now, today, in America, there's no Khalifa. There's no punishment for it that a leader can do. So even if four people see it, they have no right to go and discuss it. The purpose of the four is not to go around telling people. The purpose of the four is to go to the Khalifa. So now, if we have three or four seen it, you maybe go to the person, tell him, brother, you know, this is not right, and this so-and-so. You go maybe to the sheikh, so he can relate the message to him, maybe indirectly or directly. Maybe you need to go to the father and suppress that. Other than that, there's no business in talking about it. There's exceptions. Can someone tell me exceptions? This is a side issue, it's not out of the notes, but there's exceptions in talking about a Muslim. Give me some.
Marriage.
If I go and ask Firaz, I tell him, you know what, your cousin is so-and-so. What do you know about her? I want to marry her. Then he can spill his guts out. You know, he can say what he has to. He has to. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by a woman, she wanted to marry a certain number of the Sahaba, and he told her, this guy, he's a cheapo. This guy, he always has a stick. He's going to beat you. And this guy, so he explained every single one of them. So, if it's marriage, yes. If it's an innovator who spreads his innovation. I am an innovator, for example. May Allah guide me from that. And I say that, you know, I spread innovations out to people. You guys can go and say, this guy, watch out from him. He spreads out this innovation, this innovation. But watch out from Radgat al-Khibar. You better be truthful in what you say. But you say, well, this guy is bringing all this kind of sort of stuff, weird stuff. It's not part of Islam, and he's spreading it. Why? The reason is to protect people from them. Also, in addition to marriage, is business. I want to go partnership with a brother, and I ask his friends, what do you think about this guy? I want to go in business with him. Because you need a trustable person, they can answer that. Another one is going before a judge. I want to sue this brother for $10,000. In addition to the judges, like today, a sheikh. I go to the sheikh, look, this guy scammed me out of this money. I want help, and you will get in my money back. That's the types of exceptions that we have to ghiba. Okay. The next part of the hadith, we're going to go to the next part of the hadith. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. Who wants to translate that? وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. Translate, Salman. No, قِتَال. What's قِتَال? Killing. كُفْر. Huh? Okay, what kind? Reword it precisely, because that's very important. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. Reword it precisely. Kufr is disbelief. Qital is killing. Who wants to reword it precisely how it is? What did they have in the hadith? Okay, it's really, and fighting him is kufr. And fighting him. Fighting, there's a difference we're going to get to, like I told you last week, and we never got to. Fighting is, if you want to reword it precisely, and fighting him is an aspect of kufr. And fighting him is an aspect of kufr. Could someone tell me we'll get to that later on. Or actually, how would it be reworded if that person is a kafir himself? وَقِتَالُهُ. What is it? That's a good one. That's number one. Or وَقَاتِلُهُ كَافِر. Ba'ay kufr is more of what I was looking for. Where did you get that from? Huh? There's a huge difference between these two. Inshallah, we'll get to that in a second. So the Prophet ﷺ starts saying, and fighting him is an aspect of kufr. Fighting, I don't mean by fighting, fist fighting. No, let's put that aside. The fighting over here is fighting. Us, a group of Muslims, go and fight another group of Muslims with weapons and killing and swords. That's what the fighting over here means. It doesn't mean the fist and physical fighting. Okay, now the first issue over here, take how serious it is. How serious it is to kill Muslims from other hadith and other verses. When Allah talks about the major sins, what's the first one he always mentions? What's the first one?
Just going back. How do you explain the battle of the camel and death test?
You know, I'm going to get to that. I get to that, and remind me to mention that inshallah as well. Okay, when Allah mentions a big sin, what's the first one He always mentions? Shirk. What's right after it? What? No. What is it? No. There's disobedient offenses in some verses. If you calculate the verses where Allah mentions the sins, most of them are either killing a shirk and killing, or killing and what He said about disobedient to your parents. Allah in Surah Al-Furqan says,
وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ
وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ. Those who don't associate a partner to Allah, what's the next one after that? What's the next one? وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسِ. And they don't kill the nafs that Allah prohibited except rightfully. So combining it to shirk shows you how serious of an issue this is. What's the first thing Allah asks about on the judgment day? If you got on your record, if you got on your record a lot of sins, Allah starts off the first one by killing. In fact, the killers are the first people to be asked on the judgment day. The Prophet ﷺ said, أول ما يقضى يوم القيامة بالدماء. The first thing that Allah judges on the judgment day is with blood. The people who killed are the first one who get to be tormented in hellfire. And also, the first thing on their list that Allah will ask them about is killing. Look in Surah An-Nisa. That's in Surah Al-Furqan. The first verse I mentioned is in Surah Al-Furqan, towards the end of it. I'm not sure what verse. In Surah An-Nisa, verse number 93, Allah said a verse which you'll never ever find another verse like it ever with these many punishments. Allah says,
وَمَن يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا.
وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا, whoever kills a Muslim on purpose, anyone know the verse? فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. His punishment is hell. خَالِدًا فِيهَا, forever. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah is displeased with him. وَلَعَنَهُ, and another fifth punishment, وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Imagine that. Five punishments that tell one verse, one crime. You never ever find that in the Quran ever. The only time it's found in the Quran is in the killing of a Muslim. Five different punishments for one who kills another believer. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 32, Allah said,
مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَٰلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا.
من أجل ذلك, take the point of the verse, it's a long verse. أنه من قتل نفسا, whomever kills a soul not rightfully, فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. If I kill one person, it's as though I killed the whole universe. You know how much sins I get? If I were to kill everyone in the planet, the killing of one innocent person is equivalent in my sins than everyone. Yes. We're going to get to that. You know, you and your brother ask questions, we're going to get to, inshallah. I have a topic about this. Can a killer repent? That's your question, right? Okay, inshallah, I'm going to get to that. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا, for this globe to be demolished or go, أَهْوَنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, is easier than for one Muslim to be killed. Imagine, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَتْلِ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ, for this earth and globe to be demolished and destructed, the globe, of course without its people, is easier than one Muslim being killed. Imagine the value of a Muslim's blood to Allah. And something valued to Allah should be valued to us. Keep that in mind when you watch the news every day. Umar radiallahu anhu killed 7 people one time. You know what they did? They all conspired to kill a young boy. So he killed them all 7. In Islamic law, the conspiracy, if you try to conspire to kill another Muslim, even verbally, and it's proven against you, you get killed. They told him, Umar, when did they kill them? Why are you killing all 7? He said, wallahi, all of Sana'a, Sana'a is the capital of Yemen today, if they all conspire to kill a Muslim, I kill them all for that Muslim. That's the punishment. You know, some guy could say, hey, here's the knife. Hey, he's over there. Go find him over there. You helped him. If you knowingly helped them, you conspire knowingly helped them to kill a Muslim, that's the punishment in Islam. One guy during Ibn Umar's time, he killed another Muslim. So Umar used to, every time he sees him in the alleys, would tell him, drink a lot of cold water because you're never going to see heaven ever. You're never going to see the taste of cold water in the lake after ever again. Meaning, he's trying to tell him, you're never going to see heaven ever. And this is the opinion, by the way, of some of the Sahaba. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, if the people of the sky and the earth conspire to kill one Muslim, Allah will throw them all on their faces in hellfire. In the hadith, لو أن أهل الأرض, لو أن أهل السماء والأرض اشتركوا في قتل امرئ مسلم لكبهم الله في نار جهنم. In another hadith, and that's the last one we'll take about this matter, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whomever aids another in the killing of a Muslim, even by a portion of a word, look, not even a word, a portion of a word, he comes on the judgment day, in between his eyes written, I cannot be covered under the mercy of Allah. I cannot be covered under the mercy of Allah. Written on his forehead. The Prophet ﷺ said in the Arabi, the hadith, من أعان على قتل مسلم ولو بشطر كلمة كتب بين عينيه يوم القيامة آيس من رحمة الله. So he comes on the judgment day with a sign, I got no mercy, no hope before Allah. Imagine that. What's the next point in the outline? What is it? And no one's looking at it? Kinds of killing or types of killing in Islam. The first and most obvious kind of killing or type of killing is, what is it? Intentional. Intentional. It's in the outline? Or you know, it's intentional. Okay, I go, I carry a gun, and I shoot someone. I take a sword, and I hit him on his neck. I take my car and run him over on purpose. Intentional. This falls under those verses in hadith that we mentioned. What's his punishment in this life? What do we give him in Islam? Huh? Okay. Alright. Take two issues. Some guy, I'm a judge, I'm a Muslim judge. Some guy came up to me and he's brought before me for stealing or adultery. And he goes, you know what? I repent. The guy whose daughter he committed adultery said, I forgive him. And the guy who stole,
He says, you know, the guy who he, the store he stole from, I forgive this guy. Just let him go. I don't want his hand cut off. Then a guy comes who's killing. And his family say, we forgive this guy. I'm a Muslim judge. Help me decide. What do I do? On one side, I got a guy who stole, committed adultery, fornication, any of those hudud that we have in Islam. On the other side, I have a killing. What would I decide over here, and what would I decide over here? Which one? Oh, man. I would think, you got a, huh? Opposite. You listen to your brother. Like you said, the killer, you let him go. The other guys who stole and committed adultery, no. That's the only thing. See, if he repented between him and Allah, and he committed adultery, someone came up to me, we had a khalifa, and he said, you know what, I committed adultery, I want to go to the khalifa, let him stone me. I tell him, it's better for you to repent between you and Allah and stay away. They never caught you, keep and stay away in your house, and repent truthfully for Allah. I stole, let me go get my hand cut off. I repent. No, don't do that. Stay in your house and repent to Allah. This is just a deterrent punishment. Because we want to eliminate this from being widespread in society. That's the point of it. Now, if it comes to me as a sheikh, no, it's done with. You got it. I forgive him. He stole from my store. He's my cousin. He's whatever. No. It doesn't matter. His hand got to be cut off. Because it reached the judge. The only exception to that is killing. If someone killed, and how many members of his family have to forgive? Who said one? Which member of his family has to forgive? Wife? Not his wife. Huh? Why you guys into the girls?
Father.
Huh? Father or who else? Let's assume the whole family, say we want him killed, and his son says no, I want him, it's okay, I'll let him free. His dad, what about if his son, if a cousin, first cousin says, it's okay, I forgive him. Yes. All we need is one person out of the close-knit family to forgive. That's all we need. That's why in Saudi, supposedly when they have these Islamic Sharia laws, some of them that they apply to the poor, they keep the young people. I mean, I remember one guy stayed in jail for 14 years. He stayed in jail. He killed someone and he stayed in jail for 14 years. Does anyone know why? Son was too young. He didn't reach the age of puberty. So they waited, the 4-year-old, until he reached puberty, and they asked him, this is the guy who killed your father. You want him killed or not? Because if that little boy says, no, I forgive him, the guy walks away free. Just last month in Saudi, some guy, his name is Munder al-Qadi, a young teenager got killed in Saudi by a prince. A young prince. Both of them were feuding over something. And the prince took his machine gun out in the middle of a big highway in Riyadh and killed this young boy called Munder al-Qadi. So, you know, I believe it's all an acting thing. But what happened is, after a year and a half, they took the killer who was a prince. And they put him after Friday, and they banded his eyes and took his hands behind his back, and they said, we're going to kill him. And I supposedly think that they pressured the father because they stayed 2 hours before they carried out the execution, and they asked the father, do you want him killed? We'll kill him now. He said, wait, let me pray istikhara. And he prayed istikhara. And he said, wait, let me pray more istikhara. And then he got a cellular phone, and then he called his wife and him. Then at the end, he said, I forgive him. They took off the bandage. Actually, he went up. He went up, took off the bandage off his eyes and off his hands, and he walked away a free man. Even though his cousins, the boy's cousins, publicly, all of them, lashed out at the father for allowing this to go. I think that's acting, because I know Saudi and I know that's Saudi. But if this really happened in a Muslim society, that's exactly how we deal with it. That's exactly how we deal with it. The guy forgives, one person out of the whole family forgives, and the person walks away. Uniquely enough, Allah in the Quran says, I think in Surah Al-Kahf or Al-Isra, he says, فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. He calls the two guys, the one who killed
his brother. If they forgive you, that's it. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. So the point I wanted to get at, for those who are not right, is the first type of killing is intentional killing. If a family member forgives that person who killed, then that person walks away a free man. Yes, has to be a male family member. Male close family can't get along far away. Cousin never seen him in his life and come and say, I forgive this guy. No, has to be close then. That's really up to the judge. You know, a judge could say, okay, I'll accept this one and I won't accept this one. Okay, does this person have to fast or give money to the one, to the family? Yes. Ma'az. See, let me tell you on that story, first of all, Ma'az's story has many narrations to it. And Ma'az was the guy who came to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, I committed adultery. And the Prophet ﷺ looked away, meaning, get out of my face. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, I committed adultery. And the Prophet looked away. Again, get out of my face. Four times. Then he asked, is this man crazy? And they said, no. So the Prophet ordered him be stoned. Some of the narrations say that his tribe duped him into this. They told him, just go tell the Prophet ﷺ you committed adultery, and he's going to just say, may Allah forgive you and let you go on your way. Some of the narrations say they took him to stone him, and they began to stone him, and he got up to run away. Look, he repented, of course, because he went to the Prophet. He got up to run away, and the Prophet ﷺ, Sahaba, put him back and kept stoning him until he died. The Prophet, when he got the news, he wasn't watching it. When he got the news, he said, couldn't you love him? That's from the mercy of the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning, pretend like you're trying to catch him, and let him run on his way, and that's it. Let him go. Make it as though the guy ran away. That's from the mercy of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. But the Prophet ﷺ did not tell him, you guys did wrong. It may be, like if it happens to us, you know, the Prophet didn't even say, you should have let him go. His quote was, هَلَّا تَرَكْتُمُ. Maybe you should have let him go. Because the guy was running. He was trying to run, and the Sahaba put him back and stoned him. That's from the mercy of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The mercy of him is, he could have said, I committed adultery. The Prophet said, restrain him and stone him. Four times. I mean, the guy was asking for it. He was asking for it. So the Prophet ﷺ had no other choice than to do that. So it was, I would say, more of a suggestion that gives us some slack, not a judge. A judge got to order this person killed. But let's assume they carry out the execution and the guy is gone. The guy tries to run away. Let him go, if you repented. If not, he should be sought for and the command of Allah carried upon him. The next type of killing. What's the next type of killing? Huh? Okay, I was going to wait to do the next one. Does he owe the family any money? Let me take all three of them, then I'll go back to the issue. What's the second type of killing? Okay, what's the third one then?
Somebody tried to kill you.
If you guys know I'm a tough guy, punch Musa on his face, and that punch kills him. What have I done? Which one of these?
Unintentional.
Huh?
Unintentional.
Unintentional? It's neither. Okay, Omar. Huh? What is that? Okay, intentional. Similar to intentional and by mistake. What's similar to intentional American law? What is that? American law. What is it? No. Second degree is murder. But you didn't go on? Manslaughter. See, America applies Islamic law as well. By mistake. So intentional, if you want to write them in fiqh terms, is amd, is amd, purpose. The similar to intentional is shibh al-amd, shibh al-amd, meaning similar to intentional. By mistake is khata, khata, amd, shibh al-amd and khata. Okay, we know this one, the guy gets killed unless his family forgive him. Similar to intentional, I punched this guy and I meant to really hurt him bad. I didn't mean to kill him, but my punch caused his death. That's not a mistake, because I meant to hurt the guy. Except I didn't mean to hurt him to the point of death. This actually happened in Royal Oaks, I think, a few years ago. Actually, 8 years ago. A high school student punched an Iraqi, Kildani. He punched another student and he put him to the, his face, it was so strong of a blow that his face hit the curb and he went in a coma for 8 years. And he died last year, and basically what they did, the guy who punched him, they sent, actually the one who died was Iraqi, the one who hit him was not. They sent the guy initially for the punch, something very minor. I mean, he didn't even do jail. When the guy died, he stayed in a coma for a year, they charged him with murder again, and he's going to do about a year or two or so, because he didn't intend to. Basically, that's exactly what similar to amd is. I take a stone, I want to hit someone, I want to hurt him. I don't mean to kill him. That stone ends up bashing his brain. That happened during the Prophet ﷺ's time. A woman hit another woman, and she killed her and her son. So that's similar to unintentional. Now by mistake, you guys give me examples on that. Yeah, not driving 100 miles per hour, driving 50 miles in a 50 zone, then yes, that's a mistake. Or the guy didn't have a stop sign, and you were going, and it was his fault, you know, he didn't have a stop sign, you went up ahead, and you hit him. Even if it was his fault, even if it was your fault, you didn't stop on a stop sign, it's still considered a mistake. I take a machine gun, and we go, or a shotgun, and we go hunting. And the first thing that moves, I see it, and I shoot at it. It turns out to be a human being, not a deer. That's mistake. All these are mistake. Okay, now you know all types of killing. Now, this one, the guy gets killed. Unless his family forgive. What do you guys think about this one? Gets killed too? The punch that I threw, that I wanted to hurt someone, but I never killed them. What happens there? Huh? He gets killed? I hope you never be a judge. No, this one, all scholars agree, he doesn't get killed, except he pays a diyah, and his diyah is harsher. What's the diyah? Diyah is something equivalent to 100 camels. 100 camels. Now, every judge decides it based on what 100 camels are worth. I remember when I was in Medina, this happens a lot over there. And when I was in Medina, 100 camels, the judges made it equivalent to 100,000 riyal. So if you want 100,000 riyal, it's like divided by 3.4, and that's what you get in American dollars. Maybe, who's good at math? 30,000, 33,000? $30,000. But it could go up. That was back when I was in Medina. Now it's probably 50 or 60,000. The judge issues a sum, that's what 100 camels are worth of that time. So this one over here, he pays equivalent to 100 camels, except it's a little bit more. What the Prophet ﷺ did to that woman who killed another woman by a stone, he ordered 100 camels, 40 of those camels. Could someone tell me? What about those 40 camels? They're pregnant. Pregnant, which is almost a 40, double. That's, they did the same thing, except a little bit, a notch higher than a punishment. Now this one, what do they do? I killed someone in my car by mistake. Diya what? Huh? What? What is it? Come on, people. How much? What is it? Standard 100 camels, nothing more. So the difference between these two, is this one, it's a little bit harsher. So if it's 100,000 riyal, for this guy, he might make it 140,000 riyal. For this guy, it's a standard $100,000. Or 100,000 riyal, or equivalent to 100 camels. Yes.
What is the
Okay, that's a very good question. He doesn't have to pay. You know that? If I kill someone in Islam, I don't have to pay. Who pays it?
The tribe.
Actually, I don't pay a single penny out of it. You know that? And that's what's done in Arabic countries. Enjoyed in the tribal regions, in the Saudi, the tribal regions, they don't. They got a tribe. Like, I remember in Medina, I had a friend from Al-Harbiyin. Harb is a huge tribe there. And he told me, look, I have to send in a check. I said, for what's this check? He goes, well, one of our family members killed some guy, and everyone has to pay like 50 riyal. So it's so huge of a family, everyone pays 50 riyal. The guy who killed doesn't pay nothing. Because the Prophet said, it's an aqilatahu, on his family. It's beautiful to have on his family, isn't it? The house of the Muslim pays it. House of the Muslim pays it. Well, now insurance will pay it for you. But in Islamic, we don't have Islamic society, but in Islamic society, the family, maybe he's from the outside region, he doesn't have a family, usually he gets taken in by a tribe, usually. If not, the Khalifa will pay that sum for him, the leader of the Muslims. Yes, what's the other question?
Is there anything for attempted murder, like you want to kill someone and shoot him, but did you
That's like killing in Islam. Attempted murder and killing is the same thing. Same in America too. The punishment in America is the same. If you get 30 years for killing, you get 30 years. But you gotta prove that really he meant it, of course. Okay, that's the question we wanted to get to. Over here, there's a dispute. The Jumhur, the great vast majority of the scholars, they say no. You don't have to for this one. The Imam Shafi'i and Malik say you have to pay kafara. Shafi'i and Malik were the only ones who say you have to pay 100,000 camels. What's their proof? There's no proof that says it. Their proof is that impliedly, since these two have to do it, then this guy has to do it. If this guy happened to do it by mistake, then this guy has to do it as well. But there's no clear proof on that. It's a disputable issue. I probably lean with that, not the majority of the scholars, that there's nothing here because the Prophet didn't directly specify it. So I want some, yes.
The BNP, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Why? Did this guy get to walk away a free man?
If he's killed.
Even if he's killed.
How about if he's not killed?
What do you mean?
How about if he's forgiven?
He walks. See, there's three things that can happen. They can ask for his blood and his neck be chopped off. They can make sulah, which means they tell him, here's, that's what the prince is doing to Saudi a lot. They give him $10 million or $10 billion because the money is laid all around, and they say, just forgive this man. And he does it. That's the second one. The third one is, no, take without nothing. We just forgive him for the sake of Allah.
That's up to the family.
Up to the family. Yes. See, they have leverage. They can get his neck. What more do you want? They can forgive. Yes. Yes, they can forgive. Of course. Yes.
If the family doesn't forgive, that's all they can settle for is 100 camels. They can't order no death or nothing.
That's all they get. Equivalent to 100 camels. They can't get more. If the family wants to pay more out of generosity, that's fine. But required by Islamic law is only the equivalent to 100 camels.
Something like this goes on in America and some murder of people without any
Well, like we said, look how severe the punishment is. What more do you want than that? It's a severe punishment. He's going to stand. He may have got away over here in this trial, but he's not going to get away with Allah. Yes.
So I'm real confused here. So you're saying that like Imam Shafi's opinion is that if someone took an intense, they get killed and the family says,
yes. That's the killing. He gets killed and he's still got to pay over that, according to Shafi'i and Malik, the 100,000 camels. According to the Jumhur, no. They said his blood, that's all they get is his blood.
If they don't kill them, then they get the money.
They can't. They can't settle to that.
They have an option.
They have an option.
They can do that.
Yes. That happens a lot. Okay. Not everything I say makes sense, because it's the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay. Let's move on. What time is it? Okay. No, I'm gonna get there. I'm not gonna. Inshallah, I'm gonna. I won't leave inshallah until I talk about it. Okay. The next point. Everyone understand this? It's pretty obvious. I'll go through it real quick. Intentional. They get the blood unless they forgive. Similar to intentional. It's like me throwing a rock at someone, then all that person gets is equivalent to 100 camels, a little bit, a notch more than that, maybe 140,000 camels. By mistake, all they get is 100 camels. I'm sorry, one last thing I forgot, that's one part of it. What's the other part? There's something else you have to do. You paid them, in these two, you paid the family the money. You still did something that you gotta clear your conscience with Allah. Of course. What else? How many days? 60 days. You free a slave, Allah in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 92, you free a slave, if there's no slave available or you can't afford, then you fast 60 days. That's for these two. Again, that doesn't apply to intentional. Consecutive. If you break them, you gotta start all over again.
So, I don't know if I'm gonna answer this right now, but what's the, like in Saudi, they have the public punishment?
Yes.
Is that
good? Well, right now they quit doing it because America doesn't like that stuff. And the humanitarian rights, they object to it, like whipping and lashing and cutting the hands off, and the human rights organizations make it a big issue. But Islamically, it should be in public, because Allah in Surah An-Nur said,
وَلْيَشْهَدَ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
وَلْيَشْهَدَ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Let a group of people see that. Because when word gets out, you know, word gets out. When Saudi, back in the days, they had some good years where they really applied it. There wasn't even two or three cases of stealing in all the country. Imagine that. You couldn't find killing, rarely. Rarely any killing. It's a deterrent punishment, and that's why a group of people have to see it. Yes.
No.
No. You know why? Because we don't have no proof on that. The verse only talks about mistake. Doesn't talk about intentional. I guess because you got so much leverage in killing, everything else drops. Okay, our next point. What's the wisdom? Someone tell me this. Since these two made a mistake, I made a mistake. Is there anything? Go ahead, make. So maybe someone else was in.
No, we just told that.
Weird?
Yeah.
I told you, everything I say is not weird. Why? You know, that goes back to Shafi and Malik do say that. Shafi and Malik on this one do say that he still has to pay even if he lets out. But the Jumhur don't say that. Why the Jumhur is right? Because the Surah An-Nisa, verse 92, clearly says this is only for someone who killed by mistake. In order for you to apply it by intentional, there's additional proof. Maybe you like Shafi and Malik's opinion. Maybe. Yeah. Because you could have got off hard, right? You could have got off by his neck cut off.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm saying, like, if they have done it unintentionally, then they would have to pay the money.
You know, just the possibility of you dying one day, is more than anything else. I think so. The chance that you may be dying, actually in prisons over there, what they do is everyone, every Friday, they wait. Because the only time they tell you...
I think you're trying to say, like, say the quote back to me and say, let him go. If they say that, you should have to pass.
According to Shafi'i and Malik, you're right. Maybe you like that opinion. Don't lash out at us because we're not adopting that opinion. Take it easy. Okay, let's move on. What's the wisdom behind you paying 100 camels? If I drove my car, and I hit someone, and he didn't stop at the stop sign. It's his fault, but in a way, I killed that person. Why do I have to pay 100 camels worth? Why? If it's my mistake. The scholars pull out two reasons. The first one is, no matter how you killed by mistake in some way, you had a portion to do with it. If you killed a guy on a stop sign, you probably were going fast. If I killed a guy hunting, I should have waited to see more. If that's a human being, I should have made sure my friends who are hunting with me are behind it. So in a way, you have something to do, even a minor way. That's the first reason, they say. The second reason is to show us the honor of blood. Meaning, watch out. The honor of blood is very sacred. Okay, the next point. Can I, the Prophet ﷺ said, killing a Muslim is kufr. Can I pull out a gun, an unloaded gun, and just point it at you guys? Can I? Why? Huh? Okay, I think the magazine out. Without a magazine. You know, the magazines will hold the bulletin, and I call it a BB gun. Haram?
I
don't know. Huh? Toy gun? No, not put a toy gun aside. Unless it shoots something out, and that's haram. But a real gun or a knife. I pull out a knife and stand in here. Watch out, guys, or something like that. Actually, that's not only haram. That's a major sin, and it's not a joke. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in a hadith narrated by Ahmad al-Tabari, لَا يَشِيرُ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ بِالسِّلَاحِ. Don't point towards your brother with a weapon. Look how that is. Look what he said. Don't point towards your brother with a weapon. Look at the statistics today of how many people die because of, you know, mistakenly. They're playing around and the guy shoots his son or shoots his relative. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said in Sahih Muslim by Abu Huraira, مَنْ أَشَارَ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ بِالسِّلَاحِ لَعَنَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ حَتَّى يَنْتَهِي وَلَوْ كَانَ أَخَاهُ مِنْ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ. Whomever points a weapon towards his brother, the angels will curse him until he puts his weapon down, even if it's his brother from his mom and dad. Meaning, if you were just joking around, who's going to kill his brother from his mom and dad? Rarely does that happen. Meaning, if you're just messing around with your brother, the angels, even jokingly, the angels keep cursing him until he puts that weapon down. This is something a lot of us joke a lot about, and that is haram, and it's a major sin. Why it's a major sin? When the Prophet says la'anatu, the angels curse him, that means the punishment is there. The Prophet cursed him, that constitutes it as a major sin. In a hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ says, whomever raises his sword on one of us, he's not one of us. Whomever raises a sword on one of us, he's not one of us. That's nearly considering him a kafir. Not a kafir, but nearly considering him a kafir. Okay, so that's not a joke, and it's not a game, and it's a serious issue. And from the wisdom of the Prophet 1400 years ago, that he tells us don't point a sword or don't point a weapon at each other. Yes?
Back is a family even forgive, it's not a fast, right?
Yes. Yes. The fasting doesn't drop. Good question. Jazakallah khair. Okay, the next point, yes. If it's a toy that doesn't shoot nothing, I mean, it's a toy. It's not, and the other person knows it. Because one of the points is not only that you may hurt him, it's scaring your brother. Sahaba came to another Sahabi one time and scared him, woken him up, scaring him. The Prophet said, don't ever do that again. So scaring your brother is not right. But if it's those see-through guns or those guns, all the guns they make today, by the way, on the tip of them they have something red. Because a lot of police officers started seeing kids doing, you know, pulling a gun at them, and it's a toy gun, they shot back at them. So now it's the law in all countries. It's a federal law. If you go around and look around at the toys, any toy gun has at the tip of it something red to show that this is only a toy gun. So the officer, look how dangerous that is. The Prophet ﷺ telling us not to do that from the beginning. Okay, the next point is, can a killer repent? No? Why? Why? I just told you a verse. Whomever kills a Muslim, فَجَزَاؤُهُ is punishment, جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا forever. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ Allah is displeased with him. وَلَعَنَهُ and he's cursed. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Yes. Without forgiveness. Okay, mashallah. Anyone want to try? Anyone else want to? That's from Bani Israel's time. Okay, that's good. The guy from Bani Israel's people, where it's in Sahih al-Bukhari Muslim, where he killed 99 people, and he went to a worshipper, he said, there's no way you can repent. He killed the worshipper, made him 100. Then he went to a scholar, he said, I want to repent. The scholar said, you can repent, but go to that other town because you're in a bad surrounding here. On his way there, he died in the middle. So what Allah did is the angels, good angels and bad angels came to take his soul. What Allah did is he shrunk the side he was going to and extended the side he was going from, left from, meaning the distance from the longer. And Allah told him, measure the area. If he's closer to the good town, then take the good angels take him. If he's closer to the bad town. The point is that Allah forgave him. And the good angel took him. He killed 100 people. This is from the time of Bani Israel. Even though we don't accept this hadith for face value, just like that, as a hukum for us, we have additional support. Because this is from the time of Bani Israel. So can he repent? The first answer that I like was, this punishment is only if he does not repent and if Allah doesn't forgive him. If he does not repent and Allah doesn't forgive him, then his punishment is Jahannam, خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَاب جَهَنَّمُ. And that's the right opinion. Why we know that? We know that, and that's the point I'm going to get to. Take them point by point, then you ask your question. So the first one is, this verse and what Ibn Umar were saying, because Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar, their apparent statements, they believe a guy who killed does not have no repentance. In reality, I think they were trying to scare people. Because Ibn Abbas has an authentic story where someone came to him one time and he asked him, Ibn Abbas, can a killer repent? Ibn Abbas said no. And then another guy came and said, can a killer repent? And he said yes. So his students in Ta'if in Saudi Arabia today, they said, what is wrong with you? Same question you answered two ways. And he said, the first guy who asked me, he didn't kill yet. If I tell him yes, you can repent, he'll go kill him, then repent. I'm causing mischief by telling him yes. The second guy came to me, that's scholar, that's the wisdom of a scholar. He knows who he's talking to. The guy, second guy, he killed and he came to me to repent. If I tell him no, you can't repent, he'll say, what the heck, I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell. Let me do as much mischief as I can, since I'm going to hell. He said, I can't stop the repentance on this guy, so that's why he gave two answers. In reality, I think, although some people think Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas believe that they have no repentance, I think they take it out of context that these were trying to scare people so it won't become widespread. Because you know the Bedouins back then, like the Bedouins today, you look at them differently and you pull out a sword and chop your neck off. That's how they were. You know, that's how the Aus and the Khazraj. A lot of them were raised by the Prophet ﷺ from the outskirts. So they wanted to suppress this killing and show how extreme it is. So our first point is that yes, Allah will accept the repentance if he repents. The reply to the verse is that if he doesn't repent, that's what his punishment would be. The next reply. If he kills, thinking killing is halal, then that's what his punishment would be. Because if you think killing is halal, it's totally different than what? It's totally different. You're kafir. Because believing a main concept in Islam is halal, that's kufr. That's totally kufr. Scholars all agree. So if they say the verse means if you believe, it's halal. The third one is, this verse applies to kuffar killing Muslims, not to a Muslim killing Muslim. Because the verse doesn't say, it says, and whomever kills a Muslim, فَجَزَاءُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. So they say this applies to a kafir, not to a Muslim. I think the main and the strongest one out of the scholar's opinion is what you mentioned, that if he doesn't repent and if Allah doesn't forgive him, that's what his punishment will be. Okay. He asked me about Al-Jamal, Ma'arakat al-Jamal. What's Ma'arakat al-Jamal? Tell me what that is.
Like, I was saying that the only sin that you can qualify forever is shirk. So even if that person killed intentionally and didn't repent, wouldn't after they walk in the Jahannam, wouldn't that be a kafara and then they would be put in the
Yeah, Allah, someone who killed, basically, really, if Allah doesn't forgive him on the judgment day, if he's Muslim, Allah will punish him, and if Allah doesn't forgive him, if the shafa'ah of someone who likes him doesn't overwhelm him, Allah will punish him in hell for the duration of that time, for a duration of time, and then he will allow him entry to heaven. Why? Because we take, you know, if someone is ignorant, and he reads this verse, جزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله. See, no, that's probably the problem of that worshipper who, that 99 guy killer, asked. He's probably a worshipper. He read this verse. He said, there's no way this guy can repent. A scholarly person knows all the hadith and all the ayat. You can't pull one out of context. Why? We know in other hadith that the Prophet ﷺ says, whomever has a drop of iman in his heart, a tiny drop of iman in his heart, will be taken out of hell and unto heaven. I mean, the worst a Muslim could happen to him, don't think it's easy. Like I told you, it's from the distance of Detroit to Chicago to be in hell. But I'm saying, the worst could happen to a believer is that he'd be in hell for the duration of his sin, and then he'd be taken out to heaven. Why? Many, not one, but rather a lot of hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. A tiny drop of iman. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ gets someone out of hellfire, one of the last people to get out of hellfire, who has a card in his waist, that card has La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So taking all that together, he's a Muslim, no matter what sin he committed, except shirk, because shirk takes you out of Islam. That's the point of it. I mean, if shirk was part of Islam, it would be forgiven too. But shirk takes you out of Islam directly. You're basically saying Allah's more than one, or you're associating a partner to Allah. I don't recall offhand right now, but I don't think it's kufr. I don't think he'll be a kafir. Because it's a sin. It's a major sin. And actually the hadith is similar to this one. Whomever kills himself, the Prophet ﷺ said, with a metal or with anything, he come on the judgment day in hellfire, doing the same way he got killed, on and on and on, forever and ever and ever. But again, I'm going to talk about what ever and ever ever means, inshallah. I think it's a sin. And I don't know of anyone who considers person who kills himself a kafir. I've never read that opinion. He didn't repent. He'll still go to hell and be, yes, you're right. Yeah, he can't repent, but he'll go to hell, and then inshallah his destiny will be to heaven.
So like if he's here forever, it's like maybe not good time, not like eternally.
A long period of time, yes. If, and you add to that a quote, if Allah doesn't forgive him. Why we add that quote? From the other hadith that we have. The Prophet ﷺ said about someone who commits adultery, or someone, let's take something we said, the guy who talks about Muslim brothers, he has a claw in his mouth and his chest. That's the hadith, period. Someone will say, oh, that's his punishment no matter what. How do we know Allah will forgive him? From other ayat and hadith where Allah says that he will be forgiven. Okay, why we also know that guy who kills, Allah will forgive him, is because look what Allah said in the Quran.
وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ
اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما فإن بغت إحداهما على الأخرى فقاتلوا التي تبغي حتى تفيء إلى أمر الله فإن فاءت فأصلحوا بينهما بالعدل وأقسطوا إن الله يحب المقسطين.
وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما. Look what Allah says. سورة الحجرات verse number 9. If two groups of Muslims fight, look what Allah worded it. وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ, that answers your question about the camel, the battle of the camel. وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ, two groups of مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, believers, اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا, if one of them refuses, then fight the one who refuses. Fight the one who refuses. So what did Allah call the two groups? طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And that's how it is. Muslims could have battles like Muawiyah and Ali, and both of them, radiallahu anhum, both of them are, you know, called believers. It doesn't mean just because two of them fight that one of them is a kafir and one of them Muslim. That doesn't mean, even if one of them is wrong, even if one of them is wrong, let's assume we have two Muslim countries, one of them for no reason invaded another country. Does one of them have to be kafir just for that invasion? No. They're two believers. Why? Because Allah says, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. The same between Muawiyah and Ali, except between Muawiyah and Ali, I mentioned it last time, is totally different. Muawiyah had proof of what he was doing, and Ali had proof of what he was doing. Ali would have been a little bit closer, because he's the Khalifa and everyone has to listen to him, even though both, inshallah, get ajr. Could you imagine that? Ali and Muawiyah fought a battle of the Jamal, we call it the Ma'rakat al-Jamal, and a lot of Sahaba died in it, yet Muawiyah gets ajr for it. Believe it or not. Ali gets ajr for it. Except Ali gets two, and Muawiyah gets one. Because Muawiyah had an educated guess. He wanted to fight the killers of Uthman. And Ali said, calm down until we situate the Ummah. Muawiyah said, look, I'm his relative. And the Prophet said, fight and seek the killer of Uthman. Ali said, no, not right now. Even though Muawiyah was right in seeking him, Ali was righter, more right than him. Why? Because Ali is the Khalifa, even if he says, I forgive the killers. Because he's the Khalifa, and there's going to be division, we should have listened to him. That's what makes Ali a notch more righter than Muawiyah. Both of them get ajr. Imagine that. So they're believers. And another verse, Allah says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتل. سورة البقرة 178. كتب عليكم القصاص في القتل. Meaning, if someone kills, they have to be killed. Okay. The end verse, the end part of the verse, I don't want to read the whole verse, but the end part of the verse says, فمن عفي له من أخيه. If they forgive their brother. Imagine that. If he's a kafir, he killed on purpose. And then Allah has given us the rule that he should be killed. Except if they forgive him. Allah didn't say, except if they forgive him. Except if they forgive their brother. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ. Allah never calls, like the modernists today, Allah never calls the kafir brothers. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. His Muslim brother. Meaning, he is still Muslim. Okay. Let's take two more points and then we're done with this hadith and we're done and we can take the questions. What's the difference between qatl and qital? You gotta know this as a student of knowledge. Qatl, both of them is killing, except one of them is a mass killing, group versus group, and another one is directly killing someone intentionally. Let me tell you what. If we had a Khalifa, and some group tell us, we don't want to pay zakah no more, like they did to Abu Bakr. What does Abu Bakr do? What did he do? Fought them what time? Is it qatil or qital? I'll give you the next scenario. some guys occupy Palestine, and we go to liberate it. Is that qatl or qital? Huh? Masculine, but you have to give me the right term. Which one is which? I got over here a group of Muslims who say, I'm not going to pay zakat. Abu Bakr sends his army there. Then you got, in Abu Bakr's time supposedly, a land of the Muslims taken away, and he sends an army to liberate it from the kafir. Which one is qatil and which one is qital? Let me tell you, before you think my student's mind, Ridwan. Qatil is the one where you're against non-Muslim. What does it mean? We go and liberate our land. The men, the Khalifa has the right. He can either kill them, he can either forgive them. The women, something else. I don't want to even get into that. So the killing doesn't stop even after we liberate it. They begin to fall under the Muslim. The Muslim leader can say, all of them, I order be executed. The Prophet did that. In the Jews that were around Medina, 780 he killed them one day. He surrounded them and he killed them all, every single one of them. That's when it's versus non-Muslim. That's qatil. فَقْتُلُوهُمْ. That's what it is. Now if it's qital, like this one, qital, someone says, I'm not going to pay zakat. Someone says, you know what, adhan? We're not going to make adhan no more in our town. The Khalifa sends an army there, and he does qital. So if they get the stronghold, and they get them back on the right track, they back away. They're women, you can't touch them. They're men, they got to be free. You can't kill them. You can't surround them and say, oh, you guys fought us, we'll kill them. That's the difference between qatil and qital. You have to know this because in a lot of hadith, in a lot of ayat, you have to know the difference. So qatil means to nearly eliminate them, assassinate them, and kill them one-on-one. Qital means you get them back on the right track. After you get them back on the right track, you back away from them. Yes. They're gonna, of course they are. Okay. However, I'm saying, you become, we went, like Abu Bakr did. He went to the towns around him. The first time, you don't want to pay zakat, he started fighting them. As soon as they paid the zakat, he got them on track, he took over the town, he put his leader there, he backed away. No Muslim gets harmed, no woman gets touched, their wealth is their wealth, their land is their land, we don't mess around with that. The opposite with when it's qatil. No, you have to order them all be assassinated. That's the difference between, which one is worse? I want to hear an answer to this to see if you understood the definition between the two. Qatil or qital, which one is worse? Worse. Which one is worse? I'm speaking English. You guys want in Arabic, I'll tell you.
Muslims, right?
Which one is worse? Overall, from every angle you look at it. Which one's worse? Qatil. No, he's right. Qatil is worse. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, وَقِتَالُهُ كُفُرٌ. He says the lesser one. قِتَالُهُ كُفُرٌ. The lesser one. He could have said, وَقَتْلُهُ كُفُرٌ, which is larger. But then you got qital, which is a lesser rank. So he gave the lesser rank, meaning if this is for the lesser rank, imagine what it would be for that which is worse. The next point is kufr and al-kufr. What did I tell you about someone who doesn't pray? What's my famous opinion on him? What is he? Is he a kafir? A kafir, regular kafir? I mean, like this guy who could repent?
He doesn't pray, but he thinks praying is wrong.
Well, you gotta get technical with your stuff, with your thing. Just give me the answer of what you think a guy who doesn't pray is. Without whether he thinks it's halal or not. Okay, that's for sure. All scholars unite on that one. He thinks it's halal, you have to do it, but he doesn't do it. He's lazy. Is that? Okay, there is. He's right. There's a different opinion. The opinion I told you, I take it in a narrow way. I stayed two classes going over and I brought the proof of every single side. I told you I adopt the opinion he's a kafir. And I think the strongest proof that he is a kafir is, why? Okay, thank you very much. At least someone pays attention. وَقِتَالُهُ الْكُفْرُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ. بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ. The Prophet, when he talked about Salah, he said, between a man and between kufr is leaving prayer. Look how it is. Al-Kufr. Ibn Taymiyyah has about 32 pages just talking about that. Al-Kufr. And kufr. And why Ibn Taymiyyah believes that he's a kafir out of Islam. Because when you say Al-Kufr, it means what, Maryam? What kind of kufr? What's Al? What's Al? The kufr. What's the kufr that you guys know? The kufr that's Arab. The kufr, al kufr, the big kufr. Now, had he said, وَبَيْنَ كُفْرٍ, that's a totally different issue. It would have been, it's an aspect of kufr to leave salah. So now you know the difference between the two over here. Kufr, when killing a Muslim, this is not the major kufr. Had he said, وَقِتَالُهُ هُوَ الْكُفْرِ, then it would have been the big kufr. Then, this one, had the Prophet ﷺ said about salah, وَقِتَالُهُ kufr, then that would have been an aspect of kufr. But when he has al, al in Arabic means al al-ahad, meaning that which you know, the kufr. Only one kufr we know, the one that opposes Islam. Kufr is an aspect of kufr. Al-kufr, the real, real kufr. Now, as I said, there's difference of opinion on that, but I think the what tips the scale over totally is this hadith right here. Yes. Well, you know, the strongest proof this for the other side is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anyone with a tiny drop of iman, Allah will take them out of hellfire. And they tend to give that a lot of leverage. If you have a drop of iman. Actually, it's from the four imams, it's actually three of them who believe he's a Muslim. I don't think that's right, because if you look at overall, the great vast majority, like Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn al-Jawziyyah, they all adopt the opinion, and Ibn Hajar all adopt the opinion that he is a real kafir. Yes, if you have a drop of iman, you're going to be taken out of heaven, out of hell, and put in heaven. But let's assume a mushrik. A mushrik, in some way, has a tiny drop of iman in him. In a one way or another, he has a tiny, but he committed shirk. And all scholars agree he is not going to enter heaven because he's a mushrik. The same with this. Yes, everyone with a tiny drop of iman is going to get out of hell. However, you got to be a Muslim in order for that to happen. One of the things that takes you out of Islam is shirk. One of them that takes you out of Islam is that one. And I think more decisive proof is Abdullah ibn Shaqiq radiallahu rahimahullah said, the Sahaba never used to consider anything kufr out of Islam, leaving a kufr except salah. Meaning you leave zakat, you leave hajj, you leave, I say I don't want to go hajj. You know what? I don't want to join those million people and they're all sweaty and it's going to be hot and I have to be secluded 3 days in a tent. I don't want to do that. You're not a kafir. You know what? I'm a millionaire. I don't want to pay my 2.5%. No one ever said you're a kafir. I don't want to fast Ramadan. You're a sinner. You're not a kafir. However, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq said the Sahaba never used to consider anything kufr except salah. Yes. That's the name. There is about zakat, it's disputed. Zakat, other than zakat, I don't know of anyone who says other than sin. Zakat is disputed because they want to know, they say Abu Bakr wouldn't have killed all those people if it wasn't kufr. However, the four imams don't believe that. The four imams believe the rule you or your brother upset, that unless, if you believe zakat is ordained, and I know it's ordained, hajj is ordained, I just don't want to do them, you're a sinner. But if you say they're halal, you know what? What's this hajj? I don't want, hajj is not an ordained, then that's totally different. Or hijab is not an ordained. Anything clear in Islam with clear proof, then you can't deny it, otherwise it takes you out of Islam. Not doing it. A woman who doesn't wear hijab, is she kafir? Huh? No, no, absolutely not. She's a sinner. That's the most you could say about her. However, if they come and tell us hijab is not part of Islam, that's the borderline you hit. Yes. What's the difference? Aida? Okay. Kufr, khusla min al-kufr, meaning an aspect of kufr. An aspect. So when the Prophet says killing them is kufr, killing them is an aspect of kufr. When he says al-kufr, it means the kufr, al-al-ahad, meaning the kufr that takes you out of Islam. So having an aspect of kufr, does it make you a kafir? Does it make you a kafir? No. Having an aspect of a hypocrite, like we took in the previous hadith, does it make you a hypocrite? No. Unless you're fully a kafir, or unless you're fully a hypocrite. So here, killing them, if you put al over here, then it'll be the main kufr. If you keep it like this, that means it's an aspect of kufr. Over here, when he talks about salah, it's the type that takes you out of Islam. Our last point, if I was, God forbid, drunk, and I drove, and, or actually, I get drunk and I pull a gun and kill someone, do I get killed or no? No?
It's manslaughter, right?
Manslaughter? Why?
You didn't have the right mind.
Huh?
You didn't have the right mind.
Not sure you.
Sisters, you guys can, you girls can give your input. Go ahead. Speak up. Drunk. Insanity is, yes it is. What type of insanity? If you got a guy who's depressed, he's a little bit on Prozac, takes a couple, you know, pills of Prozac, or lithium or whatever, and he goes and kills. And he comes to me, says, you know what, I'm insane, just like they go to courts over here and do. What do you think? What do you think? Kill him? Huh? No, it's not the judge's call. If it's something minor like that, they're all depressed. I mean, who goes in life without being depressed? You know, that if every guy, depressed guy, goes out and tries to kill, we should all go around killing and we'd be free men. This is part of life. Part of life is you get your high times and your low times. That's part of life. And that's why a true believer maintains, you know, that's why we believers, our lithium and Prozac is Iman and our faith in Allah. We don't need to go to that stuff. So if everyone comes and says, you know, he's just down a little bit and I shot my wife. No, that doesn't work like that in Islam. He gets killed for that. The insanity that we're talking about is you bring a guy, and the scholars, and this is what the scholars say, not my wording, the scholars say, you give him a date in one hand, and you give him a rock in one hand. You tell him, which one of these two do you eat? And he takes the date, or he doesn't know, or he's confused, he's mentally ill. That's the type of insanity that he tell him, okay, you killed me, go on your own way. You know, it comes a little bit, you know, we all have our mental problems, you know. So, you know, over here in this country, any type of mental problem that you deceive the psychiatrist with, that's it, they let you free man. You could probably think that you have triple and four personalities, and that's it, you're gone a free man. That doesn't work with us. Okay, that, so you know, if you're crazy, really, really crazy, really, really crazy, then yes, and you kill, then inshallah, you will not be accounted by Allah, and you will enter heaven. What happens to crazy people in the judgment day? Mentally ill. They get tested. And how they get tested, like the Prophet ﷺ told us, Allah tells them on the judgment day, go to hell. And if they go without asking why, what do we do? They go, Allah tells them, stop, go back to heaven. They say, why? Why are you telling us to go? We were retarded, we were crazy. Allah will tell them, keep going to hell. That's the way it is. And that's the way it is, according to most scholars, we don't have proof on it, according to most scholars, the children of the non-Muslim, that's what happens to them. It's disputed though. Children are Muslim, they automatically go to heaven. The children are non-Muslim, there's disputed. Some say they get tested, some say they automatically go to heaven. Either way, there's no proof on it either way. I think probably that they automatically go to heaven as well because they never did nothing and their parents' sin is not their sin. Yes.
They go to
Allahu A'lam, may be high. You know why? Because they suffered in this life. And the more you suffer in this life, the higher your rank is. So what's the most valuable thing you have? Your brain. And your brain, you don't have it for 60 years. And you suffered. And people had to take care of you. People took advantage of you. People laughed at you. The more suffering in life you get, the higher your rank in heaven is. So they might have a very high place. Allahu A'lam. Okay, we never answered the question, which is the main point. Yes? Allahu A'lam. I really don't know. I have no idea. Okay. Yes. I want to know if he's drunk. We never got the answer. Even if he doesn't, let's assume he gets so drunk, he really doesn't know the difference between a date and a stone. Let's assume he gets to that point. I don't know if he can get that drunk. May Allah add our ignorance in that kind of matters. But maybe something got that high or that drunk to the point he doesn't know. Really, he got to the point where had he been crazy, we would have forgave him. But he was drunk. The answer is simple. Of course he gets killed. Yeah. You know what? Because if every guy who wants to kill another person, he'll go drink and go kill him. And they say, I was drunk. I'm sorry, I was drunk. Isn't that what's going to happen? That's the first point. Everyone's going to start doing it. Then, you know, if you get off on getting drunk, you know, just get drunk. And then after that, repent to Allah. No, you get killed. That's the number one point. Addition to that, this guy chose to take his mind away with his own hand. It wasn't forced upon him. The guy who's mentally ill, Allah took his mind. This guy took it himself. This guy took it himself. So those are the two points as to why a drunk would get killed. The same thing which is more disputed. If a drunk divorces his wife, I believe in a lot of, most in the, that's the majority opinion, that a drunk guy divorces his wife, it falls. Why? Because this guy made himself drunk. It's not that it was cast upon him that he became drunk. Okay, with that we'll end this hadith, and I think time is up. If there's any questions? Nah. I'm killing, yes. I'm killing, yes. And divorce, no. General questions? What time is it? We still have about 10 minutes for Maghrib, or 5 minutes maybe. Yes, sister. No. If they're blind and they're good Muslim, they're Muslim who pray, inshallah, they go to heaven. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, من بلاه الله بحبيبتي, whomever Allah touched with his two sweet ones meaning his eyes, and he's patient, فصبر فله الجنة. So if Allah took someone's eye and he doesn't get up every day and say, why the heck had it be me? Why was it me? Why couldn't it have been so-and-so? Look how he's living and look up. If he takes it and accepts it, imagine, I mean, that's one of the grants of a blind man. He walks in life, he doesn't see no sins. That's probably the number one causer of sins for males. And he's patient on that, and Allah took it. Inshallah, if he's patient, for sure he's going to enter heaven. Same with anything other than that. It doesn't have to be a physical feature. Speech problem, maybe he can't speak, maybe it's a financial problem. One day he was rich and Allah suddenly took all his money away. It happens. He was in the stock market, he was a millionaire. The next day he's zero. He says, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah, I accept it. Now why does it have to be me, and why is it, can it be that other guy? Those Jews are over there rich and look at me. No. Once you say that, you're out of the boundaries of being patient. It could be a marital problem. He got married and he wanted the wife, and it turned out that his wife gives him pain and problems, or they ended up in a divorce and it turned into misery. It could be anything like that. Any problem in this life could be a problem with a kid. A kid who turns out maybe retarded, or a kid, la samahallah, who has a physical problem. All of these is, like I mentioned, I think 3 weeks ago, things that Allah uses to give you deeds and take away from your sins. And like the Prophet ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It's astonishing, it's amazing that the status of a believer. If something good happens to him, and something bad happens to him, it's all good. If something happens good to him, he praises Allah, and he's patient, and that's good for him. If something bad happens, the same way, he's patient, and he praises Allah, and that's good for him. And like the Prophet ﷺ said, a believer is tested according to his status of belief. If you're a strong believer, you get tested more and more and more. If you're... Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, sir? Nice to see you. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Okay, sir. Anything that happens to a believer, and you know the hadith, an amazing hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, when on the judgment day people see the pupils of trials and tribulations in their high ranks in heaven, they wish that they were slaughtered by claws. Meaning, you know, the harshest thing that could happen to you is bringing some claw and shredding your flesh. Putting your body in a shredder. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. When you see the high ranking of those who have problems in this life in heaven, you wish that you were shredded in a shredder to get those high rankings in heaven. Does that answer your question? Any more? The sisters, go ahead, because we, us brothers, you know, we always meet and we sit together, and they always can get a contact with me. But the sisters, I know it's more difficult. So go, you can go ahead and ask. Go speak right up. Yes.
Was that person a Muslim, or wanted to prove him?
You know what? We don't even know. And it's not our business to know. It's not our business to know. What's your point of the question before I answer the question?
Because if you consider him a Muslim, because he said La ilaha illallah,
First of all, this was in a battlefield. You can't take what's in a battlefield out. This happened in a battlefield. Usama never went to a guy and conspired to kill him out of a battlefield. He went in the battlefield. He was about to swing at him. The guy knows if you say La ilaha illallah, your blood is sacred. He said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Usama swung. He killed him anyways. So this happened in a battlefield. In a battlefield, we tolerate more than we do out of a battlefield. The Prophet wanted to teach him a lesson that a guy who says La ilaha illallah, you hold it in sacredness regardless. He could have been hit, most likely from what you can judge, but the sword is coming at your neck. You say La ilaha illallah. Most likely, I would say the guy is a hypocrite. Allahu alam. But that's not my business. And that's not your business. The Prophet wanted to teach him how sacred the blood of a Muslim really is. Khalid ibn al-Walid, one time, went to a town, and the Prophet ﷺ ordered him to investigate the town and see if these people are going to pay zakah or not. Khalid went there and began killing them. And he came back to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and because it was more of a battlefield thing, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from what that Khalid did." And he ordered the diya over here, the one we talked about, to be paid for every single person who died there. Because he ordered him to investigate. Khalid went over there, he didn't hear the adhan, and he went there, and he began fighting him. You know, a general is not like a guy sitting at home. With Khalid is a general, and they only understand power and killing. So he took it a little bit step more than he should have. Then he should have probably forewarned them, because they were supposedly Muslims. And he came back, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka mimma fa'ala Khalid." Oh Allah, seek refuge from what Khalid did. Was the biggest mistake. He sent him on another mission. After that, Khalid backed away. He took measures, and extreme measures, and came back before he even killed anyone, because he didn't want the Prophet ﷺ to do the same thing he did the first time. Any more questions?
Musa adding salam to a man, was it the killing by mistake or the killing for military purposes?
You know what's the story behind this killing? Do you know how it happened? To protect what?
The
No, that's not the one in Surah Al-Kahf. It's in Surah Al-Qasas. One part is in Surah Al-Qasas. Why did he kill him?
Because he wanted to protect a man from the...
From his own tribe, right? A man from Fir'aun's tribe, or from Fir'aun's followers, came to kill a man from Musa's tribe. Musa was a strong man, physically strong, very, very well known to be a very strong man. So he killed the guy who came from, actually it was a fight, wasn't killing, a guy fighting his tribe. So Musa, alayhi salam, it's disputed how he killed them. Most say it was a physical way, it wasn't with a sword or anything. So Musa hit him in a way that killed him. You know, it's a mistake. It's a mistake and it's killing, and it shouldn't have been happening, because similar thing happened the following day. And Allah told Musa alayhi salam, and the man told him,
أَتُرِيدُ أَن تَقْتُلَنِي كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ إِن تُرِيدُ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ جَبَّارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُرِيدُ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ
أَتُرِيدُ أَن تَقْتُلَنِي كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ. You wanna kill me just like you killed the guy yesterday? إِن تُرِيدُ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ جَبَّارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. You just wanna be a strong man on this earth. وَمَا تُرِيدُ أَن تَكُونَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ. You don't wanna be a just man. So in a way, when the Quran mentions that, it approves in a way that Musa alayhi salam was wrong in his killing. Now, why he wasn't killed, Allahu A'lam. Actually, which one would it fall under if Musa came to me as a judge? Huh? Similar to. So he wouldn't have been killed anyways. And you know, the thing about it is the enemies of Islam and the enemies of truth bolster minor mistakes you commit or Muslims commit to their advantage. Fir'aun didn't care about a guy in his group killed. He cared because it was Musa who did the killing. Just like all times in all situations. You know, I know a sheikh in Jordan. He, actually Sheikh Al-Albani. He killed someone in his car by accident. And he's hated because of certain beliefs he has. What the leaders in Jordan did, and the minister of Awqaf and a lot of high-ranking people, they used that to say, look, this guy kills children. They put him, the last 5 years of him being alive, he was basically housed in prison. For what? Hitting a boy by accident in a car. It happens every day. But the enemies of Islam choose tiny little things to use against Muslims to bolster. Fir'aun doesn't care about a guy. He's got a million other guys building him the pyramids over there. He doesn't care about one guy. But when it was Musa, he set all his troops and all his armies out to seek this man. Does that answer your question, Maryam? Any criticism now? See, I like to hear it here because I don't want to ever hear it out of here. Right? If I give you a chance to hear it here, then no criticism? Comments then. Okay, Jazakumullah khair. Inshallah, we'll see you next week. Keep Hajj Anadi in your dua and keep us all in your dua. We'll see you inshallah next week this time. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.